Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. Listen, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Today, we are giving away one large specialty pizza to Marco's Pizza in Aurora. And the pizza there is great. I just had the white pizza, which is fantastic. It's like bacon and tomatoes and this white sauce. So good. The barbecue pizza, it's a specialty pizza. So good as well. All the doughs are made fresh every day, as well as the sauces. You need to go to Marco's Pizza in Aurora. You can find them two locations, Quincy and Smoky Hill Road. We're going to be giving away one large specialty pizza in the second hour of the show. Mace, we got a lot to talk about. So with that, time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
All right, 10 picks for the Broncos over the weekend. That's more than they started with overall. What did you like? What weren't you so crazy about?
Well, first of all, let's just start day three, especially as you get to round 6 and 7. This is a shaky class because you had more guys that were opting back into college football for the 2021 season, players taking advantage of getting an extra year of eligibility. So I would say that the end of the draft, more lottery ticket than usual, which is why you just simply say, okay, here's a guy we like on our board. And in particular, the Broncos wanted guys who could help on special teams. Let's just go ahead and stick to the board and go with that guy. And that's why you see, oh, well, they took two safeties. Oh, they took a receiver, didn't really need a receiver. They're just, you're not putting a lot of thought into saying we have to get a specific position just because of how this draft fell. Days 1 and 2, we talked a lot about Patrick Surtain, of course, on the Friday show, and then you get into what they did Friday night. I like the trade-up for Javonte Williams. That's the kind of guy who actually, if the Broncos pull off getting Aaron Rodgers, has a lot of value because he's a win-now type of guy, a running back that you draft early on. I love Quinn Meinerz. I talked to you about him down at the Senior Bowl, as not just because of the gut, but because he just mauls people. I think he could be starting for this team by 2022 somewhere on the interior. And then Baron Browning, they're going to try him at inside linebacker, even though he's played outside linebacker. They're going to see what he can do. Maybe he can allow the Broncos to move on from Alexander Johnson or Josie Jewell after this year.
I like the philosophy, which is best player available. I just do draft guys who can play, draft football players, don't reach because of need. The Broncos certainly had some needs, that's for sure. You know, everyone's going to call this a defensive draft, and that's a fair assessment, right? But two of their top three picks were offensive guys.
And they were looking at offensive tackles. In fact, they got jumped for a couple of offensive tackles, and that actually was played a part in them trading down in round 3.
Well, the Broncos did some jumping themselves. They almost jumped back into the first round, according to NFL Network's Michael Silver. He wrote a really good in-depth story on the behind-the-scenes look at what the Broncos did during this draft, and he had a lot of different takeaways. We will sprinkle this out throughout the show. One of those things was the Broncos considered moving back into the first round to take Miami edge rusher Jalen Phillips. He was available after 15. They thought maybe they can trade up to get him, hoping he would drop into the 20s, but Miami took him with the 18th pick. Sometimes the best deals are the ones that are never made, because the Broncos certainly wouldn't have had the same capital to have the draft that they did. Do you think this was a trade, a good thing that didn't happen?
Yes. Part of it is because of what they end up doing and being able to, like Meinerz in particular, at the end of round 3, along with Browning, you get somebody who can, Browning, who can be a potential answer at an area where you're going to have some needs popping up because of contracts. And then Meinerz is somebody who I think brings a certain tenacity that you really want to add to that offensive line room. The other thing is Jalen Phillips. I wasn't a fan of Jalen Phillips. When I watched him, of course, he really only, he transferred from UCLA, only really had one big season at Miami, 8 sacks last year, but he's somebody who, he's a long and lean type of player. And even though he's, even though he weighed in at 266, which was more than I expected, or 260, pardon me, more than I expected leading into the draft process. The thing I noticed about him is he was single blocked way too often for my liking. I had some Shane Ray flashbacks watching Jalen Phillips. I think this is an example of the Broncos maybe being saved from themselves a little bit.
Okay, Silver also writes, the Broncos did a little jumping of their own. They jumped the Miami Dolphins. Apparently, a little intel that the Broncos got was that Javonte Williams was going to be taken by the Miami Dolphins. So George Payton, hearing this, decided to jump the Dolphins, make a trade with the Atlanta Falcons to get Javonte Williams.
It's actually caught on video as well. The Broncos posted a video of George Payton and his negotiations with the Falcons, in particular, trying to get back a sixth-round pick because of something we talked about last week, how Payton, when he was with the Vikings always preferred to, if they could, come out of a trade with as many picks as they entered it with. Even if they were moving up, they would want a late round pick back to balance the raw number of picks. That's what he did.
So Silver also writes how Payton had three guys on their board in the third round that they wanted at 71. They probably would have gotten all three, meaning they would have had their pick. So what did they do? Specifically George, he rolled the dice. He made a trade with the Giants. And oh, by the way, I think Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants, made more trades this year than he has in his entire career, but that's a whole different story because that guy's not known for trading.
It's almost like he knows he's on the hot seat and he knew he needed to try something different.
So Broncos sitting at 71, they make a trade with the Giants and they go back a few slots to number 76 and they pick up a fifth round pick. Then George wasn't done. He sent the 76th pick to the Saints for a pair of late third-round selections. That is very Rick Spielman, Minnesota Vikings. Keep compiling picks. The guys they wanted at that point were still on the board. They picked up selection number 98, selection number 105, and two of the three guys they wanted were still there. One of the guys that we just talked about, the belly, offensive, the gut, the belly, it, yeah. Whatever, the tummy, whatever you want to call it. Quentin Miners, right? And Baron Browning. Sometimes you take risks and they pay off, and sometimes they don't. And if indeed Silver's article is correct, Payton took a gamble and won.
And the interesting thing is when you're looking at the potential cost of going up into the 20s, if they had for Jalen Phillips, it probably would have been the number 71 pick.
Right.
Which they turned into those two guys. And again, this is just one man's evaluation. I would rather have Browning and Miners than Phillips.
Right.
I'd rather have those two guys, potential answers at two positions, in particular Miners. You know, one of the things that we talked about heading into the draft was how do guys look after they didn't play last year? If they opted out, or in the case of Miners, there just wasn't a season because D3, D2, and FCS, they didn't play. So he goes to Mobile in January, and he's lost weight. He dropped 20 pounds from what he played at Wisconsin-Whitewater in 2019, and added, lost fat, even though he still had the belly, added muscle, and was manhandling people in one-on-one drills. He was the best. He was, along with Creed Humphrey of Oklahoma, a very technically proficient center. I thought he was the best interior lineman down there in Mobile. Getting him at pick 98, I thought was that's an absolute steal of a deal for the Broncos.
Is it just me, or does it seem like Miners and
And Miners is a Payton kind of pick, too. Small school, upper Midwest. Right. Remember we kind of talked about how he would have a fondness for Trey Lance, North Dakota State, in his old backyard? And he did. They really, really liked Trey Lance. Miners was in that same category, somebody that Payton knew a lot about from watching the small schools in the upper Midwest and liked a great deal.
I don't know one thing about Miners as a person, But from everything that I read, it sounds like he and Dalton Risner are going to be BFFs. Doesn't it? Outdoor guys, you know, kind of walk to the beat of their own drum.
Might be competing for one job, though, in the next couple of years. We'll see, because it depends how Lloyd Cushenberry does. I mean, the Miners pick for the next couple of years.
I don't think he's replacing Risner.
Yeah.
He's replacing probably Glasgow.
Yeah. The Miners pick puts everybody on the interior on a little bit of notice, although with Risner, the thing that happened, of course, is the Broncos didn't take a tackle, and they were looking long and hard at potential right tackles. But if the Broncos look at Miners, and they see Natani Muti developing as another interior guy, and if Lloyd Cushenberry can build off the last few games of last year and take a step up, they're going to cross train Miners at center and guard.
Right.
But if Cushenberry plays better, Miners and Muti both develop. You mentioned Glasgow, but then also Dalton Risner, I think, could be very much in play to switch to right tackle. Even though it would be interesting to switch him to right tackle for 2022, which would be his contract year. These things come up pretty fast.
Coming up after the break, here's a little quiz. What do Baron Browning and Jamar Johnson and Jonathan Cooper all have in common?
They all played in the same big game back in November in Columbus.
Okay. They also were never in my kitchen. And they all played in the Big Ten. And one guy who knows the Big Ten as well as anyone is our friend Howard Griffith. Remember him? Played a little fullback for the Broncos. He's with the Big Ten Network. He's going to give us his evaluations of the new Big Teners on the Broncos next.
Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can listen 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service, and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
All right, let's go out to the hotline and to Chicago and bring in our friend Howard Griffith. You remember him. If it wasn't for Howard Griffith, I don't know if Terrell Davis would be wearing a gold jacket right now. Two-time Super Bowl winner and works at the Big Ten Network in Chicago. How are you, Howard?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
You like that setup? You wrote it very well for me, but I got to tell you something. You got to work on your punctuation and your grammar.
It's all right. It'll be okay.
All right. So
the fact that I'm still being remembered is good.
You are definitely being remembered. All right. So the Broncos take three guys out of the Big Ten, and you work for the Big Ten Network. Baron Browning in the third round, an outside linebacker. Jamar Johnson went to my alma mater, Indiana, in the fifth round. And then Jonathan Cooper, a Buckeye as well. Give us the skinny on each guy.
Well, let's start with Browning. I mean, he was a high five-star player when he came out of Texas to Ohio State. He's huge. He still, to me, has so much growth and development that he's going to be able to do. He's actually, in my opinion, going to be a much better pro than he was a college player, because he was still finding his way, and also he's still understanding the defense. And he had some injuries that slowed him down a bit, but I was excited to see what he was able to do, not only on his pro day, really showed his versatility, but then once he was drafted, I think he'll be in a great situation there in Mile High playing for the Broncos. And you look at Johnson, to me, you talk about this Indiana defense who really for the last couple of years has been playing so well, and it's had a lot to do with him. I mean, make the turnovers were timely, slowing teams down, getting after the quarterback, will hit you, can cover, and really does a good job when he's asked to blitz as well. And then Cooper at the end, had some injuries as well, but I really liked him. I loved his work ethic. I've been watching these guys since they showed up on campus. And, you know, he was always one of those guys that was a leader. And the injury slowed him down. But coming back and still trying to fight through him and playing well is again, showing his versatility. And go back to his pro day when he did some work as a stand-up outside linebacker. So I think that helped in his value and is going to give him a great opportunity. I think the big part of his game, at least immediately, will be what he'll be able to contribute on the special team side. And I think all three of those guys are going to be solid core special team guys until they make their mark or make their move and get comfortable with the system so they can actually go out and compete for starting jobs or be solid backups for them.
Now, with Browning, the Broncos have talked about cross-training him as both an edge and as an inside linebacker in their 3-4 scheme. But initially, they're going to focus on him as an inside linebacker before working him into the other spot. Where do you think his best long-term home schematically is going to be?
You know, if he continues to play inside, to me, he's a guy that can run from sideline to sideline, and he can cover. And being 6'4", I mean, he can be a thumper in there if you need him to be, but I think he can play inside, and giving him the opportunity to go down and put his hand in the ground, he's going to have some advantages and some pass rushes as he continues to develop, and also being able to drop out the coverage. And that's when you talk about that position versatility and cross training him. He has the ability to do those both of those things, but I think it's really smart to allow him to really get comfortable at one position and then expand from there, not try to put too much on his plate immediately.
We're talking with Howard Griffith, two-time Super Bowl winner with the Broncos, and he's been with the Big Ten Network at least a decade. Isn't that right?
Go start in my 15th year.
Man.
You were there at the start, weren't you, Howard?
I was there at the start, so.
And you got lucky.
It's been a fun ride.
And you got lucky because you're a Chicago guy. I know Dave Revson is a Chicago guy. So yeah. The fact that you get a chance to work at home is super cool.
Oh, it is. It really is. And it's been a lot of fun, with Jerry DiNardo, who was the head coach at LSU and Vanderbilt and Indiana was his last stop. So three of us have been together for a while and have put a lot of miles on our bus as we go around and see teams in the summer. And hopefully we can get back to that this summer as the pandemic starts to look like we're starting to gain a little momentum on the win side as far as the pandemic is concerned.
It's probably not fair to ask this question, but for those who are listening or watching on MileHighSports.com, they may not have a good grasp on who Browning is. Maybe they didn't watch a lot of Ohio State games or Indiana games. Going back to your playing days, do you look at any of these guys and say, they kind of remind me of blank?
Ooh. I don't know if your listeners remember Lamar Latham, who was a first-round draft pick, played to Houston. Again, big physical outside linebacker that could rush the passer. They asked him to do that. Wow, you know what? How about he's probably a taller version of Chad Brown.
Whoa, Chad was a really good player, too.
He was an unbelievable player.
He was.
He's not at that level right now.
Yeah.
But when I just think about the athleticism, that would probably be a good, not necessarily a comp right now, but someone that I think Browning has the upside to get to a guy on his level. That right there would make a lot of sense. And I think, as mentioned, Chad was unbelievable. You know, not only at the college level, but particularly as a pro. So I think Browning has that type of ability. If he continues to work and he continues to get better, that's probably where he could be.
Going back to Jamar Johnson, of course, from Indiana for a moment.
Where did he go to school?
Indiana University.
Indiana, we're all for you. Keep going. We'll fight for cream and crimson. And Howard, when did you go to Illinois? I think we were there around the same time in college, right?
Ooh, 86 to what, 90?
And that's when I was there. So you watched us win a national title, didn't you, in basketball? You did.
No, I didn't watch.
Yes, you did. Yes.
I'll tell you what I did.
Your only highlight is Nick Anderson hitting a shot at Assembly Hall in a regular season game. That's your highlight.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was a pure three-point shot. It wasn't lucky. He jumped and stroked it in. Bardo had an unbelievable pass to him. Catch and shoot.
Dude, I was doing play-by-play for that game, and I was on the floor at IU. I remember it well, and I could not believe he hit that shot.
Kind of a big deal.
And Nick, and to go back, Nick really was not a jump shooter at that stage of his career. He was still, you know, trying to find his groove with the jump shot from that distance, you know, with the three-point range. But then he went on to play in the NBA, and he started to develop a really nice three-point. And I think he was also a couple times in the NBA All-Star three-point contest. So, you know, he got a lot better as he turned into a pro.
All right. That's great 1980s Big Ten basketball conversation.
He and I can reminisce. We can go back to Dave Schnell. We can go back to Schnell. We can go back to Jeff George. I covered all those games. I watched Howard in college. I covered Howard in college.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about this year.
Hey, Illinois football was going on back then, though, too. Don't forget. They were.
We had Anthony Thompson, though. We had Touchdown Tony.
But Howard Griffith was good. Mr. Touchdown. Period.
I know he was.
That's
Indiana Jones. You had a lot of players.
Oh,
there,
man.
Let's get back to Indiana football. Let's go.
Yeah, and Jamar Johnson. And the reason I was going to bring him up is that there were some, I believe, Pro Football Focus among them that actually had him graded in the day two range, even as high as the second round. Why do you think he slipped so far?
There's no telling. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I mean, I could give you some story of why I think he failed. But this year, and I think you guys know this as you watch the draft, there were probably so many disparities in where teams and where, you know, draft experts had players, because they really didn't get a chance to see them. You know, yeah, they saw the game film, but normally when you talk about scouting players, you're spending time on campus, you're talking with coaches, and a lot of that didn't go on or couldn't go on because of the pandemic. So I think there were a lot of good players that went in the lower rounds. When we look back at this, as we always do when you talk about late picks really going on to have successful NFL careers, they're going to be a lot. It would be interesting to see the numbers of late-round picks that really stuck around and were contributors. And I think that number is going to increase from where it normally is, because there are just so many players that, you know, for whatever reason, didn't get drafted as high as they would have expected. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You're on an NFL team right now. You have an opportunity to make that team, and it's about what you do now, not where you start, but where you ultimately finish.
That's a great point, Howard. Of course, the same also goes for the undrafted guys. There's one Big Ten guy among the Broncos undrafted signees. That's Sean Beyer, the tight end from out of Iowa. Of course, the Broncos, one of the things they said right after the draft, they're looking for guys who can be blocking tight ends. How does Beyer project if he sticks on the Broncos?
Well, I think that's the part that comes up, right? You be able to be an inline blocker. And, you know, so often now it's gotten away from that, as far as tight ends are concerned, and they're not as adept to inline blocking, at least initially once they get into the NFL, because they're not asked to do it in high school. You know, most of those guys that end up playing tight ends were, you know, probably the number one receiver on their respective high school team. So when they get to college, they're not necessarily asked to do a lot of that because there's more spread. And you look at a program like Iowa that still will run out there with two tights to be able to really control the line of scrimmage and being able to block. So you can make a living being a blocking tight end. You might not catch a lot of passes, but that's a way you can stick with the team. And also, particularly if that's the type of offense they're running. But then if you're willing to block, you're probably going to be a willing participant in special teams. And that's, again, goes to where you have to be able to make your mark when you're late round pick or undrafted.
Well, the Broncos regret not drafting Justin Fields.
You're asking a Chicago fan. I'm like, no problem. They did the right thing.
The Bears did the right thing. Do you know what the thing is?
The Bears did the right thing.
Here, listen. Yeah. First of all, that front office also drafted Mitchell Trubisky and decided to take a pass on Mahomes, and they took a pass on Deshaun Watson. So when you miss that badly, honestly, you've lost all credibility no matter who you want to draft as a quarterback.
You know, there's some validity to that point, but you also can look at it from the standpoint of they recognize that they made a mistake, and they even went out and free and got Andy Dalton. But when you see a player of Justin Fields' caliber, and he started to slip for whatever reason, you know, I thought he was still the second-best quarterback available in this year's draft. It was the upside that he has, but, you know, people see different things. And this is the type of offense Matt Nagy wants to run, what they do in Kansas City, and Justin Fields gives you that opportunity. But I think Justin's going to have an unbelievable NFL career. I really do. And it's hard when you're sitting there and you look at a player like him not to take him. So it's tough, but you know, when you have an opportunity to go out and find your quarterback and get a guy that's going to be there for, you know, in the Bears' case, hopefully the next 10 years, and be able to, you know, hopefully get you competitive again in the playoffs and be able to go deep. You know, you often have second thoughts about not taking a talent like that, because it's no question the type of talent he has and his ability to whether it's extending plays, whether it's being a pocket passer, whether it's just having the intellect to play the quarterback position. Justin Fields has all of those things.
Real quick before we hit a break, Justin Fields, how soon do you think he starts with the Bears this year?
If I'm ownership, and he's starting right away. That is, because to me, ownership, or rather management, this was their saving grace to buy them more time. Because you best believe had they not taken Fields and moved up to take Fields, and let's just say they took a corner or something, that was it for them. They were going to be out of here. You know, there were many people that thought that, you know, the front office should have been cleaned out this past year. But I think now that they have Fields, they don't have time to mess around and try to develop him and do all it is. You better get him ready to go day one. And I think he's ultimately going to be there. One, because he's their best option to win football games now. And, you know, you could talk about all the money they spent and the missing in free agency and missing in the draft and moving up in the draft. But they've got to get a guy now that can play. I mean, this city has not been as excited about one player.
Since Sid Luckman. Well, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler.
No, not even yet. But, not, I mean, from just pure sport,
yeah.
Since Derrick Rose. I mean, when Derrick Rose was drafted by the Bulls, the city went crazy.
Yeah,
That's the type of energy that's in the city right now, even with the casual fan,
right,
that, you know, people are looking around at Justin Fields. And he's going to have one of the top jerseys sold this year. You better believe that, because these Chicago fans are going to go crazy for him.
I'm going to give you an opportunity. I did the Indiana Fight song. I'm going to start you Hold on. I'm going to start you off.
We're loyal to you, Illinois.
Keep going. We're orange and blue, Illinois. Keep going. Illinois.
I mean, this is a Colorado sports show. What are we doing singing fight songs about Indiana and Illinois? What's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. Nobody cares where I went, but you are a two-time Super Bowl winner here in Denver. And if you read the phone book, people want to hear Howard Griffith sing or read the phone book. You will always be a favorite son here, and you and I will always have that connection of being Chicago guys and Big Ten guys. Howard, thanks for your time.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Take care, stay safe, and enjoy the weather. Hopefully it's getting nice out there.
This weekend, I think it will be. It's raining right now, unfortunately. See you, my man.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, late, Howard. All right, coming up after the break, the Rocky Mountain Forest Products shout-out question to Ty, Cal, Kate, and Evan from the Just Us Guys podcast. If Aaron Rodgers is traded, are the Broncos going to have to overpay potentially big time if indeed the reports are true that the Raiders are in the mix? That's next. Same gutter that we walk today. Gotta stay brave, brother. Keep your hips stiff, keep your fists clenched. Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
All right, time now for the Rocky Mountain Forest product shout-out question to our friends Ty, Cal, Kate, and Evan from the Just Us Guys podcast. If Aaron Rodgers is traded, and it appears that he would like to go to either Denver or Vegas, how much is the price going to be driven up? As I am guessing, neither the Broncos or the Raiders want Rodgers to go to the other team, knowing they have to face Mahomes twice a year and Herbert twice a year. And as far as the Broncos go, do you think they're willing to overpay because they might have to?
Well, I think they should consider overpaying, but the question is, will they? Because with the Raiders, your competition, as it were, is a team that has just over $5 million of salary cap space and not a lot of obvious contracts to create room. So the Broncos may be dealing with a team that may not be able to pull off enough gymnastics to make it happen, whereas the Broncos have $27 million of cap space. So, I think it might be a question more, can the Raiders match what the Broncos can do because the Broncos have more flexibility?
Well, listen, the Raiders can offer picks, right? Mm-hmm. And while they might be in salary cap hell right now, that doesn't mean that will be the case in 2022, mm-hmm. 2023. If for some reason Rodgers goes to the Raiders, the Broncos, you could pen it in 4 to 5 losses right off the hop within division.
Yeah, you're lucky to finish third.
You're going to have to overpay. Mm-hmm. You cannot let him go to the Raiders. Maybe this year the Raiders won't be as competitive because of their salary cap, but they will find a way to be.
And Rodgers alone will lift them. I mean, even if they had to make a bunch of moves to get Rodgers in, they'd still probably win 10 or 11 games, and they'd be better than the Broncos would be. I mean, realistically, you have to think in terms of it's not just helping you, but it's hurting another rival. And if you're staring around the division at Mahomes, Rodgers, and Herbert, it's going to be a very long few years for the Broncos.
4 to 5 years. Yep. If Rodgers decides to play that long.
Basically the entire length of George Payton's contract.
Right. He will start in the hole without an answer at quarterback, mm-hmm. unless Drew Lock turns out to be the guy. I don't think it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater long term.
He's a bridge.
I don't care how good that defense is, you're not going to be able to hold up against those guys long term. Guys, what do you have to say about this? In the meantime, Danny, what do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Unfortunately, the Rockies have been rained out for tonight, but they scored a heck of a lot of runs on Saturday. We'll talk about just how many they crossed the plate next, right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Don't forget, we are giving away one large specialty pizza to Marco's Pizza in Aurora in the second hour of the show. We'll do it at the top of the hour, and they have two great locations. One is off of Smoky Hill Road. The other one is off of Quincy. And speaking of Marco's Pizza, I want to bring in my friend Debbie from Marco's Pizza. How are you?
Hey, Eric, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great now, but I was doing great 2 weeks ago because I got that white pizza at Marco's, and it was unbelievable.
Yes.
And you and I kept talking about it, and mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to get a specialty pizza, and I remembered what you said, and I'm like, I'm getting that white pizza, and that thing is loaded with bacon, and I like the tomatoes on top, and the cheese is good, and the white sauce. Mm-hmm. Tremendous. Mm-hmm. Tremendous.
Yeah. Oh, I knew you would love it. I knew you would.
Well, I want to talk about your different hand-tossed type of pizzas. What kind of things can people get there?
Well, we have the light crust, regular crust, and thick crust are all hand-tossed. And I don't think people realize until you've been in the restaurant, the one at Smoky Hill, you can't see us tossing the pizza. But if you're at Quincy and 470, you can see us in there. We're hand-tossing every pizza. Every pizza is handmade.
Now, when you go, there are a lot of big chains out there, and I'm not going to even mention them by name. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. What is the difference in taste when something is hand-tossed or something is rolled?
You know, hands down, it's so much better when you treat the dough right, and you treat it right from the beginning to the end. We make it every day. It's fresh every day. It rises. The dough rises, and then the next day when we're hand-tossing that, we bring it to just the right temperature. It's how you treat the dough from beginning to end that makes a huge difference in that yeasty, yummy goodness, as I said before, just to make it perfect. Every pizza just as good as we can get it.
Okay, I know you make your sauces fresh every day. I'm guessing you could taste the difference when it comes out of a jar as opposed to all those fresh ingredients that you guys use every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's how we mix the sauce. It's the temperature that we mix the sauce. And it's hand cutting all those vegetables every morning. Our crew is in there cranking away, chopping all the vegetables and making everything fresh and good and wholesome. And you can feel good serving this to your family because it's good, wholesome food. There's no, you know, artificial madness in it. It's all good food.
Okay, so we're giving away a large specialty pizza at the top of the hour, okay? I am loyal to the barbecue chicken pizza. I'm just loyal to it. And then I tried the white pizza, which now I've become loyal to that because I'll probably order that the next time. Give me a couple of other specialty pizzas you have.
Okay, so I love the pepperoni melt. You know, we have three different pepperoni pizzas, the regular pepperoni, the pepperoni melt, which is cheese, a blanket of thick pepperoni, and then cheese on top. That's like hands down my favorite. And then we have the pepperoni magnifico. It's actually two different types of pepperonis. And I think a lot of people don't understand that there's just different types of those pepperoni pizzas. So yeah, hands down for a specialty pizza, that pepperoni melt, man.
So wait,
it's so good.
It sounds like the pepperoni melt has double the cheese.
Yes, it does.
Oh my God, that's next on the list. Because you guys have really good cheese. And as you and I have talked about, there are two things that make a great pizza. Sauce is important. Mm-hmm. I get it. The dough has to be fantastic. And and the cheese has to be ridiculous. And if you're if you're telling me I'm getting extra cheese with thick cut pepperoni, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
I know. And it's real cheese, Eric. It's not this artificial plasticky cheese. This is real cheese. And it's important that it be real cheese and real dairy. So it's going to get that little, you know, kind of greasiness a little bit to it because it's real cheese.
So that's a specialty pizza when somebody wins us at the top of the hour, ask for the pepperoni melt.
Yeah, give it a whirl, man.
Oh, man. All right, how do people find you again?
470 in Quincy, 470 in Smoky Hill. We're just right off 470. Less than a mile.
All right. Tell Mike I say, hey, Marco's Pizza, my friend Debbie, 8 minutes. We're giving away one large specialty pizza. I'm loyal to the barbecue. Now I'm loyal to white pizza, but extra cheese with thick cut pepperoni. That's my next order. Thanks, Debbie.
That's right.
See ya.
You go, Mr. Goodman. All right. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Revive Performance for Men. If you've lost your confidence in the bedroom because of erectile dysfunction, get what you want so you can give her what she wants. Go to rpm-colorado.com. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, the Rockies scheduled to play the Giants this afternoon, but Eric, as you said earlier, it is raining cats and dogs outside, so no baseball for the Rockies.
What does that mean?
This evening.
What does that mean, cats and dogs?
I've
always wondered. Mace, do you know? Danny,
I don't know.
Do you know?
I don't know the origin.
I don't know the origin of that either.
So why do people say it?
I mean, you could say it the way they do in England when they say it's pissing it down.
Well, that's more accurate.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a cat or a dog fall from the sky.
Yeah.
I mean, just saying.
I mean, why isn't it raining chickens? Why isn't it raining?
Who says that? Who says chickens?
No one says that, but what? But I mean,
why dogs?
Why cats? Why dogs? Why not chickens? Why not ferrets? Why not?
You know why you can say cats? Because at least they land on their feet. Dogs,
yeah.
Splat. That's it.
Why not turkeys? I mean, they tried that on WKRP. They dropped a turkey from a helicopter.
And maybe because it's just so chaotic. Cats and dogs don't like each other, so
yeah, maybe
it's a hectic type of rain. I don't know. Anyway, on Saturday,
Nice transition. Anyway.
On Saturday, the Rockies scored 14 runs in a win over the Diamondbacks. That is a lot of runs. 14. Is that the most runs they'll score this season?
That's some analysis, Danny. 14 runs, that's a lot. Yes, it is
most runs they've scored this season, if I'm not mistaken.
They had 12 against the Phillies once, didn't they? So they've had 12, they've had 14. Coors Field and wacky things happening over the course of a season, I think they'll have a game where they score more than 14.
You know what? 14 runs is impressive. But you know what numbers mean more to me? Losing four of their last five. That's the number that means the most to me.
And it was another, you know, desultory road trip, 2-5, although, hey, the two road wins are more than they had coming into the trip. The other thing is that our guy Daniel Bodd is not doing very well right now at all. Blute got blown up on Sunday. His ERA is 9. His whip is 2.33. Daniel Bodd's come tumbling back to earth this year.
He was a good comeback story.
Yeah. And without Daniel Bard or Bodd, as we've often said, that bullpen, it's just toast. It's still going to be a long year. 10-18, still well on pace for 100 losses.
Well, I do have some good news for you Rockies fans. The Rockies do not have the worst record in baseball. They have the second worst record in baseball.
Yeah. It's worse than the National League, though.
It's the worst than that. I mean, the Tigers are just dreadful.
The Rockies are currently on a 58-104 pace right now.
But who's counting?
Me.
Apparently you are. Yes. That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you could try out the appliances before you buy them. You can walk into any store and say, hey, listen, I want to know what it's like to cook on a Viking stovetop. And they'll actually let you do that. If you ask that at a big box store, they look at you like you are absolutely nutso. But you can do that at Mountain High Appliance. Plus, their sales staff really experienced. You're going to have a lot of questions when you make that type of investment into appliances. They have the answers because their sales staff's been working there for decades. Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their outlet center in Denver. Coming up after the break, NFL Network's Michael Silver wrote an in-depth story on the Broncos draft this weekend. He had full access to George Payton and John Elway and Vic Fangio. But there was one thing that came out of this column that just jumped off the page at me. Seriously. And there was a lot of great information. To me, this is the story. That's next. Like a mush said, it better take a week. Gave my arm a little punch and disappointed that I heat. Said I saw that thing the first.